welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. I am Bobby Fenton. Big show planned for you today. It is our first show, not of the new year, but our first show of the new era, as Bruce Arians, of course, as you all know, is now the head coach of your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the 12th in franchise history. So we've obviously got a lot to get to today. And I remember sitting here in this seat last week saying, yeah, Arians, it just feels like one of those things that gets talked up. There's always that big name, that hot name that all the fans are on. And for whatever reason, it falls through at the last minute or it doesn't work out or something like that. And I was worried that this was going to be one of those type of things. But it worked out. Like, they pulled it off. They really did it. I am excited. I'm not completely losing my you-know-what over everything. I mean, we're going to be measured today because Bruce Arians won the press conference, as he always does. And he's won a lot of football games, too, not just press conferences. But we're going to take an honest-to-goodness look at this and what we think, not just what we hope, but what we think it could mean for the franchise today. Here on the show, again, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, which has been serving the area for 58 years now, proudly serving the Tampa community, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, or you can check out the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And you'll see all the details there of the lifetime warranty nationwide and pre-owned vehicles and new vehicles. All of them are included in this, and this includes unlimited years, unlimited miles, plus the 10-year roadside assistance program, plus one-year complimentary service. And they've got something coming up if you're a car enthusiast, and especially a classic car enthusiast. This is going to be on February 22nd. It's a Friday night next month, February 22nd at 7 p.m. at the site, 5815 North Dale Mabry Highway is the address. The Bill Curry Ford Classic Ford Car Show. They're going to have a restored 1970 Boss 429 reveal. There are going to be a bunch of other classic Fords out there. So if you're into classic cars, or if it's a curiosity for you and you have seen them on TV or you've seen them on posters, you want to see them up close, there's going to be a bunch of them lined up out there at Bill Curry Ford. I actually had a chance this past weekend. Y'all, you know, I talked about the wild card cruise and everything, and that was this past weekend. So I got home yesterday. And one of the stops on the cruise was Havana, so I got to go to Cuba, which was really cool for me. You know, growing up in Tampa, my whole life, Cuba just being a couple hundred miles straight south. It's only 90 miles south of Key West, obviously. It was a place nobody could go. It was like, had this mystique around it. You know, nobody could go there. Nobody I knew went there. My family's part Cuban. None of them had ever been there, you know, going back two, three generations. So now you can go there. So we stopped there on the cruise, and we were riding around. It was actually kind of cool because it was in a classic Ford car, and they have a bunch of classic cars on the streets. And I say cool. I mean, it's not necessarily for a good reason that that's the only cars they have there, but it was kind of neat to do that. And you know, we had all kinds of cars driving around the road there that you don't see much of here, but you will get a chance to see them on Friday night, February 22nd at Bill Curry Ford. Again, 5815 North Dale Mabry Highway is the address. And that's, again, just a few miles north of the stadium, which is just about a half mile to the west of One Buck Place. And One Buck Place yesterday, I'm recording this on Friday, yesterday was when Bruce Arians was officially introduced, had his press conference and all that stuff. So, again, oh, one more thing. If you want to email me, please feel free to do that, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, because I always love getting your emails. One more thing. Again, last week, almost was trying to jinx myself in a way, because a lot of times if I say it, then the opposite of it ends up happening. So I said, you know, I don't think the Arians thing is going to happen, or I'm not sure about it. See, if I say that, here's what happens. Then I win either way. If I'm wrong, then Bruce Arians is the coach, which makes me happy. And if I'm right, then at least I'm right. You know, I was right. So one way or the other, I don't mind being wrong as long as the positive outcome for the team happens, because that's what I want. Because I'm a Bucks fan. I'm not a journalist. I'm not a reporter. I'm a fan who's lucky enough to get to do a podcast on this fine website, JoeBucksFan.com. So it started to look better and better late last week. And I'm not going to do, and Joe wouldn't do it either. He hasn't done it, so I won't do it either. I'm not going to go nuts bragging about what Joe was able to pull off. But he did say late last week, hey, this thing is going to happen by Tuesday. He didn't say Arians for sure, but he said there's going to be a decision. And you saw it if you read this website, which I'm sure you probably do. Something's going to come down by Tuesday. And he was the Joe Bucks fan was the only one saying that. And there were even some people in the local media pushing back, saying anybody who says that doesn't know what they're talking about. We've received no indication. Okay, fine. But Joe Bucks fan reported, and this is why y'all come to this website, aside from all the great podcasts, because you know if you're a Bucks fan and you went nowhere but this one place, you wouldn't miss a lick. That was fine. People saying, oh, they don't know for sure. They're just saying that. Joe stuck with it because Joe knows. All right. When did this whole thing get announced officially? It was Tuesday. I might have been on like island time. I know I was out on the cruise. Maybe I didn't have all my stuff straight, but I'm pretty sure it was Tuesday, right? Like Joe said it would be. And sure enough, Tuesday evening, we knew officially that Bruce Arians was going to be the head coach. And then, of course, on Thursday is when they had the introductory press conference. So hats off to Joe, both the Joes. And let me tell you something right now. I mean, like I said, you have a lot of great resources out there. And you should use them all. I mean, I don't just read Joe Bucks fan. There's a lot of good Bucks play. There's, you know, the Tampa Bay Times has great people. There's other Bucks blogs and stuff like that. It's all great, okay? We don't have to all be beating each other's heads in over here. But if you only got one, like if you can only go to one place, comprehensive, all-inclusive, that's another phrase I learned on the cruise, all-inclusive, joebucksfan.com, okay? And you don't need me to tell you about that because you're already here if you're listening to this podcast. But anyway, my thoughts on the hire. Like I said before, and this was before we even had anybody for certain, when we just had a list of candidates, but now that we have our head coach, I will say it again, even though it's easy to get all wrapped up in the excitement. We don't know. We don't know how this is going to work out. We have no idea. This could end up being 2-3 years from now, the same type of thing where it doesn't work out. Arians is gone. Jason Light's gone. We're starting all over. Jameis Winston's gone. I mean, that could happen. Or it could all come together. The Arians-Winston relationship could work out. This coaching staff can deliver. And the Bucks can be a perennial playoff team again. I have no idea. Neither do you. Neither do they, to be honest with you. Okay? So with that in mind, you know, you look at the press conference yesterday, and the love fest is 1,000% on. I mean, I'm reading everybody on Twitter, both media, blogs, fans alike, and it's just total Bonerville right now. All the quotes, he's rubbing all those G spots that fans like to hear. We will attack. That was one. And he is. He's going to be aggressive. I mean, we know that, both offensively and defensively. Your system is your players. We'll do what our players do best. You know, we're not going to try and shoehorn our system onto whatever players we have. We're going to do what our players do best. Hey, sounds great. I mean, that's what you want to hear, right? Quote, this was when Joe himself, one of the Joes, asked Bruce Arians in the press conference yesterday, you know, what happens if you're watching film and you see guys up there maybe taking a play or two off, not giving their best effort, that type of thing. What do you do? And he says, this is Arians saying, he has an accountability sheet. He puts it up on film. He puts it up there in front of everybody. He says, quote, if you're up there too much, you're either too dumb to play here or you don't give a shit. Yeah, all right. Love it. You know, everybody loves that. That's right. He's not going to take any BS from anyone. He's not going to tolerate the stuff that other coaching staffs in the past have tolerated. And, hey, again, sounds great. I'll get a quote from his last press conference when he was hired as the Cardinals head coach because I watched some of that one too. And this one rubbed my G-spot. He was talking about the Cardinals, and he said, 2 years ago, this franchise was 37 seconds away from a Super Bowl. And he said, unfortunately, I was calling plays for the other side that day. I love the cockiness. Yeah, you guys almost won a Super Bowl, but that day I wasn't your head coach. That day I was coaching the other side, calling the plays on the game-winning drive led by Ben Roethlisberger, and that's why this organization doesn't have a Super Bowl yet, but I'm here now. Who doesn't love that? You know, you always want to, everybody loves to hear their head coach be brash, outspoken, confident, maybe even cocky. Again, all these things are great, but if you go online, people are losing it. We've got Bucko Bruce now has had Bruce Arians' face superimposed onto him. They're making t-shirts. And I'm not telling you not to be excited, okay? I really am not. I think it's great. The whole point of this is to feel good. We've got, what's today? You know, middle of January, January 11th. We've got literally 8 months till the next football game the Buccaneers play. That counts. We got 7 months till the preseason, okay? Every single thing between now and that opening game for the Bucs on the first weekend of September, or the second weekend of September, whatever it is, okay? Every single thing that happens between now and then is going to be tinged with optimism. It's going to be tinged with positivity. It's going to be tinged with, oh, here's why this is better, and here's what these guys are going to do that the other guys couldn't do. Whether it's OTAs, whether it's the draft, whether it's free agency, finally all the way through till training camp in July, the preseason games. Oh, yeah, I could see us doing this, that, and the other. You can tell it's different. All the buzz phrases, okay? And again, I'm saying them too. I'm not telling y'all that you're wrong for this. My only point is we don't know anything and we're not going to know anything and nothing will matter at all, okay, until they play those games. Now, I was reading, well, trying to read everything as I always do, and I was reading a little bit of, not the other, I don't want to call it the other side, because there's no sides, there's just people trying to report facts. Thomas Bassinger in the Times wrote an article after the Arians hire, basically saying, you know, here's the true story about Arians' time in Arizona. The true story of new Buccaneers coach Bruce Arians in three simple charts. His tenure in Arizona was mostly good, but it wasn't as great as we remember. That was the article, okay? And it goes on. I'm not going to go into detail with the article, but it shows three charts, as it says, using DVOA, which is a Football Outsiders proprietary metric, basically, and just to go in, a lot of you probably already know what it is, but the DVOA metric measures efficiency by taking every play and comparing a team's success on the play with the league average. It, without getting too technical, it's very strongly correlated to wins. It takes into account all the factors down in distance, score, field location. If it's third and 15 and you gain 10 yards, that's not as good as when it's third and 6 and you gain 10 yards, that type of thing. All right, and it also weighs the opponent's strength. It's expressed as a percentage, and you can go, if you go to footballoutsiders.com, you can see the link. And you can see the DVOA, the final 2017 or 2018 DVOA rankings showed the Buccaneers ranking 24th in DVOA for the season, which does sound about right for where they finished. But I digress. Point is, looking at the Cardinals' DVOA in those seasons, and yes, we all know all that matters is wins and losses, okay? We know that. So you're going to hear, oh, well, I don't care. They went 13-3. I don't care what their DVOA is, or they went 10-6. You are what your record says you are. You know, Bill Parcells, on and on and on. And all those things are fine. But just looking at it, okay, the Cardinals' offensive DVOA during the five seasons that Bruce Arians was there, 20th in 2013, 23rd in 2014, 2015, the year they were 13-3, is number four. Then 2016, back to 21st, 30th in 2017. Yes, they had a ton of injuries. Yes, they had, like John Skelton, I think it was, playing quarterback at one point. So they had some things they had to contend with. But it was four below average DVOAs of the five seasons. Fine, fine. Cardinals' defensive DVOA that same time period was very good all 5 years. 2, 7, 3, 3, and 4 ranks in the NFL through the 5 years, which as the head coach, Arians gets some credit for, although, you know, when you think of Bruce Arians, you're thinking, what can he do with the offense? And then special teams was pretty much in the 20s or even 30s most of that time. So all Thomas Bassinger was doing in this article was pointing out numerically factual things, just saying, hey, here's another angle. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because being on Twitter, I mean, I was stunned at some of the negative reaction. There goes the Bay Area media once again. They're poo-pooing it. They couldn't wait to get the knives out. Bruce Arians' ink isn't even dry on the contract yet, and here they are trying to tear him down, and you know. I'm thinking to myself, like, listen, you can be any kind of fan you want. You can be a positive fan. You can be a negative fan. You can not be a fan at all. You can choose to consume whatever media you want. Other positive people, negative, air quotes, I'm using negative people because they're often not negative people. They're just pointing out things that maybe you don't want to hear. But you can consume that, not consume that, whatever. But do you really want the media, whatever that is supposed to entail to you, capital T, capital M, the media, do you really want the media to just throw a parade just because we hired somebody? Or do you want them to look critically from both sides of it and give you a chance to make a decision for yourself about what you think is good and what you think maybe is not so good? I don't understand the complaints. Like, there's this narrative, and it's been going on, I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but it's been going on for about since 2016. But there's this narrative that the media is bad, and the media has an agenda, and the media is almost like a faction, just like any other faction that has beliefs that it wants to. The media reports, okay? The media, and there are opinion columns and things like that. There are columnists. That's a little bit different. But an article like this, hey, here's what Arians' time in Arizona by the numbers really shows. Why would you not want someone to give to produce that information for you? And why would you get mad? I mean, it's not like the article says, hey, the Bruce Arians tenure is tanked before you even realize it. Don't even bother getting excited. That's not what it says. It just says, hey, you know, here's a look at Bruce Arians' time in Arizona, offense, defense, special teams. It maybe isn't quite as great as you would think. I mean, y'all can read the wins and losses. Y'all can read the standings. We know what he did in Arizona. He won. And in Indianapolis, too, before that, he won. We know his track record working with quarterbacks. He's worked with, going all the way back, Peyton Manning, okay? Ben Roethlisberger, who he won a Super Bowl with. Andrew Luck, who he helped develop in Indianapolis. And then Carson Palmer in Arizona, reviving the end of his career. We know all those things, so those are good things. And those are obviously things that matter. This is just another thing. Like, why would you want less information and less data? And why, when someone takes the time to put out there, especially in this day and age when, you know, newspapers are fading, they say, and I'm still a newspaper guy. I get the newspaper delivered to my house all the time. But they say all newspapers are fading. They may not be around very long. And it could be true. I hope it's not, but it could be true. I mean, I think it's pretty cool to have a sports section of the newspaper as extensive as the Tampa Bay Times one is. I think we've got it pretty good. We had two papers and we lost one, and that was unfortunate. But a lot of big metro areas, some even bigger than our area, only had one to begin with, and that one is waning. You know, whatever the big town newspaper is, a lot of those are doing a lot less well than the Tampa Bay Times is. So I think we're lucky. And why would you reject the very idea of having any information being presented to you and just say, oh, this guy's just trying to tear down Arians. I can't believe he wrote that. You know, open your mind a little bit. And again, you can consume whatever media you want, but I thought it was a little bit off-putting. And again, it's Twitter. I shouldn't get too wrapped up in what people say on Twitter. But to see some of the responses to that, it rubbed me the wrong way a little bit. And the only reason I'm saying any of this is to say, every time a new coach gets hired, with Arians, it's a little bit more. But whenever there's a new coach, it's always about, oh, knew this, knew that, here's how it's going to be different, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just trying to say, we don't know anything. I'm not telling you not to get excited. I'm excited. I've even thought about, and not just because of Arians, but I've even thought about getting season tickets. And I'm not going to do that just yet because of my longstanding rule, going back to the uniforms that were changed, that I will not give the Bucks my money until they fix these uniforms. I just won't do it. It's the only voice I have. So that's my thing, but I'm still going to go to a bunch of games. I'll just, you know, I'll get them my own way. I'm not going to go the season ticket route until the uniforms are fixed. The moment the uniforms are fixed, by the way, I will purchase multiple season tickets. My son is 7 now. He's getting to that age. I think it's ready to become a thing with son and dad that we go to Bucks games pretty routinely. I'm going off on a tangent. My point is, I'm excited just like you are. All right? You look at what they're assembling, and it's a very good thing. I mean, you've got Arians himself, who we just listed all his accomplishments. The coaching staff, Todd Bowles on the defensive side. Again, very exciting. You hear what you want to hear. We know he runs a hybrid type defense. It could be a 4-3, it could be a 3-4. The whole thing with Todd Bowles is no labels. The quote I did like from him, quote, "What we'll do is evaluate our players and put systems in that match what they can do. We're not 3-4, We're not 4-3. We're going to play defense. Underline play, underline defense. What fan wouldn't love hearing that? And Todd Bowles also has a track record. I know it didn't work out as the head coach of the Jets. By the way, it hasn't worked out for anybody as the head coach of the Jets in almost my lifetime that I can think back on. So it's hardly an indictment of Todd Bowles. And before that, he's had a great deal of success as a defensive coordinator, as evidenced by some of those numbers I mentioned earlier. So, again, I'm excited as hell. It's a long off season. It gets a little shorter now. The Bucs, I believe, have OTA starting on April Fool's Day, April 1st. They get to start 2 weeks sooner than the rest of the, or most of the rest of the league, because when you have a new coach, you get to go a little earlier. And all that's great. So, I mean, I was on that cruise this past week, and I was like a little kid at Christmas morning. And let me tell you something. I'd never been on a cruise before, so I didn't know how it worked. I was able to watch all the football games. I saw all the playoff games, although they were not on in our room. I had to go out like to the bar areas to watch the games, which was fine, but I would have liked to have had the ability to just lay in bed and watch a couple of the games, especially since I like to watch football with my wife. Maybe some of you also do. But we had our two kids with us, so we couldn't leave the two kids alone in the room. So one of us had to be in the room, and one of us had to go out and watch the football. And I would have liked to have just had both of us sitting there next to each other. But anyway, Tuesday came, and this is how much faith I have in Joe, okay? Tuesday came, and we're supposed to be doing the whole, well, Cuba was on Monday. Tuesday was Cozumel. So we're in Cozumel. We're going to like Senior Frogs. We're jumping off the inflatable stuff in the water, all that stuff, you know. But I got my phone with me. My phone works in Mexico. It didn't, you know, I had to go on airplane mode when I was out at sea because of the roaming and all that. But U.S., Canada, and Mexico, I'm fine. So I fired up the phone again when we got to the port in Cozumel, and I'm just refreshing. And I had Wi-Fi on the boat too, but the thing about the Wi-Fi, you pay this money for the Wi-Fi package, and they're like, oh, great, you have Wi-Fi. And then, of course, it doesn't work in my room. Like, I'm in the room trying to get it to work, and I go to guest services. I say, hey, I paid for the Wi-Fi package. It's Tuesday. My favorite football team is about to hire a new head coach. You know, what's going on here? And then, you know, the girl behind the desk is like, well, you know, with the walls and the thickness, the Wi-Fi doesn't really work in the room. So I'm like, oh, well, that's, you know, no big deal. That's only the only place I need it. I don't need the Wi-Fi when I'm sitting out by the pool. I need the Wi-Fi when I'm in my room just messing around. You know, again, laying in bed, taking a nap. I like to scroll or whatever. So I figured out the Wi-Fi would work if I stood right next to the door to the stateroom and kind of cracked the door just a little bit. And so you should have seen me. Like, I was like almost like the manatees, the way they gravitate toward the power plant in Hillsborough Bay over at Big Bend because the warm water comes out in the winter. I was like just like pressed up against the corner of our room with the door cracked, just holding my phone, hitting refresh, trying to get news on Arians. When's it happening? When's it going down? And sure enough, like Joe said it would, we got the news when I was hoping to get it. And so, you know, I heard some other people saying, remember when they came out before the search happened, like right after they fired Dirk Cutter, we had the whole search firm thing. Corn Ferry, they call themselves. And this is a search firm, and I read about them, and I read some people's opinions about them, and they were saying that, oh, this search firm is notorious for touting only the good coaches that they find, even if it wasn't that hard to find them anyway, and then they gloss over the fact that they got Hugh Jackson for the Browns or this, you know, that type of thing. So people were cracking some jokes. This firm called Corn Ferry, they actually needed to pay out big bucks to them to get Bruce Arians. Like, we didn't all could have gotten just Bruce Arians ourselves. If we, I mean, Jason Light delivered Bruce Arians. They didn't need a search firm to do it, but who cares? I mean, Bruce Arians is here. The money spent, which I'm not sure how much it was, but the money spent was probably insignificant. And what's more, what is more, it ain't your money or mine. It's the Glazers. And it's a drop in the bucket compared to what they have, and it's going to especially seem like a drop in the bucket if the Bucks go on to win anything or even play in important games this season, because we're so starved for even that. I'll just be happy with that right now. And when you look at the grand scheme of things, oh, the Bucks did also have to give up a round of draft position. They traded a seventh. They had to give one of their sixes to Arizona for a seventh. I mean, whatever. It is almost inconsequential, and Jason Light said as much. And as far as Jason Light goes, you know, we were talking about when Dirk Cutter got fired and he stayed. You know, I was kind of curious. I mean, isn't he part of the problem? Why aren't they doing a full house cleaning? On and on and on. And, you know, I'm not saying that Jason Light single-handedly delivered Bruce Arians, but I guess I almost am saying that, because if Jason Light wasn't here, would Bruce Arians be here? I think we all know the answer is no. And so for that reason alone, if this works out, it will have all been worth it. And if it doesn't work out, they'll all be gone anyway, just like all the people before them. One other thing I said on the show last week, because there had been some criticism of the Bucks for coming out and saying Jameis Winston is our guy before even hiring a head coach. People were saying, this is why organizations that fail always fail, because look at the Bucks. Instead of hiring a good coach and just getting out of the way and letting him make the decisions, they're already telling a potential head coach before he's even there that this is how it's going to be. Shaking my head. Some organizations just never learn. And hey, I get the sentiment. I get the sentiment, okay, and I know what the Bucks' reputation is around football outside of the Tampa Bay area or outside of the Bucks fan base. But like I said on the show last week, to me, any coach worth his own salt is going to come in here, or should be coming in here, and seeing the obvious, which is that, yeah, of course, Jameis Winston has talent in spades, talent coming out of his ears. He's had a few issues, but if you look around the league and you look at what this team has the ability to do with or without him, I mean, you'd be crazy not to think, all right, this is our guy. We're going to move forward with this guy. We're going to build around him. I said all that last week. Bruce Arians comes in this week, quote, everything is going to be built around him. I mean, that's what you should say. Like, that's what a potential head coach for this team should be thinking. That's what any good coach should be thinking. He's got a year coming up on his option year. And Joe, actually, on the website, Joe Bucks Fan, wrote an interesting article. You know, for a quote like that, everything is going to be built around him, certainly sounds like more than a one-year thing. And Joe wondered out loud if maybe Bruce Arians has already suggested that an extension, a second contract, which has never happened before for a Bucks quarterback, would be in the works. And I hope that's what will happen. I'm not sure it's a mandate that Bruce Arians personally made when he got hired. But again, yeah, if he's your guy going forward, then nothing short of disaster in this season coming up would probably change the fact that you're going to extend him. And quarterbacks have all the leverage right now. I mean, we're going to have a whole offseason and even going into next season to speculate on what happens with Jameis' contract. But, you know, there's a few ways that could go. If you think of the Bucks moving on from him, that seems a lot less likely now, again, barring disaster, because Arians is all in on him. The other option is the Bucks try and sign him early, kind of like an Evan Longoria-type thing. Like, sign him before he even plays another down this season. Just get him that new contract, maybe at a more reasonable number, and just lock it up and get it done if Jameis agrees to that once the security says, okay, I'll take it. Or, number three, guys like Winston or Mariota, too, you know, realize the leverage they have, not because they've been so dazzling, but because of the quarterback situation in the league. At any given time, there's 32 teams. There's probably, what, half the teams that have a competent starting quarterback, and of that half, only about 7 or 8 of those are true elite-level quarterbacks that you're trying to get your team to that level. You know, it's not like all 32 teams have all this leverage and there's quarterbacks growing on trees. I mean, half the starters in this league are terrible. And out of the other half, again, only half of them are truly guys that you would turn the keys over to and say, you're my guy, no questions asked. Every other team in the league would love to have you too. I mean, there's only, like, again, 6 or 7 of those guys. So, when you have that kind of leverage, you're going to get overpaid, and the Bucks may have to overpay for Jameis Winston. The money he's making this year that people were so worried about, oh my God, how can the Bucks trust this man and give him this much money? He's the 19th highest paid quarterback in the NFL, okay? Which I think is pretty fitting for where he is and what he's done. And I think by the end of this season, hopefully, it'll prove that he was underpaid. We should all hope that, because it means the Bucks have had a great deal of success in 2019. But anyway, I was very refreshed. Either way, whatever happens in the future, we'll have plenty of time to talk about. I was very refreshed to see Bruce Arians come out and say it out loud. Yeah, he's our guy. And he's not a two-quarterback guy. He actually was asked about that, too, because of with Fitzpatrick and Jameis and the way it went last year. And he's a firm believer in the if you have two, you don't have one. You got to rally around one guy. If you have any issues, then you don't have the guy yet. And nobody's going to be looking over their shoulder. It's Jameis Winston's show. And listen, I'm not guaranteeing you that that's going to work out, okay? I know sometimes I make it sound like I think it's a no-brainer. It's all going to be perfect. Don't worry about it. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying you're stepped up to the table. Of all the bets, and you have to make some bet here, of all the bets you could possibly make, I think the smartest one is to go all in on this guy. And if it doesn't work, yeah, it's going to get blown up for everybody. But looking around the league, looking at the landscape, looking at this year's draft and next year's draft, you know, Trevor Lawrence is a guy, if it was 2 years down the road, oh yeah, Trevor Lawrence. But none of these guys are happening right now. And don't give me Dwayne Haskins. He might end up being good, but those are unprovens. Jameis Winston has a lot left to prove, but we've seen him for 4 years now. And even based on what we've seen and based on what Bruce Arians has seen, he knows as well as all of us do, this is our guy. So we're going forward with that, and that's fantastic. That's the way it ought to be. As for this weekend, one of the best weekends of the year if you're a football fan, as was Wild Card Weekend, although the Wild Card games up until the last one was exciting, but the first three didn't quite deliver on the drama. I still enjoyed the hell out of it, though. I mean, the way I looked at it, as of Monday afternoon, we had 12 football games left in the year. We had the national championship in college, which was an absolutely sublime performance by Clemson, but short on drama. Then we had 11 games left, the 11 NFL playoff games. Now we've got 7 games left, okay? And I had a great time watching the end of the Bears-Eagles game on the boat. There was like a faction of Bears fans and a faction of Eagles fans. You know, people book these cruises months in advance, and you know it might be Wild Card Weekend, but you're not sure, hey, my team's going to be playing a playoff game this weekend. So it was kind of neat it was almost like being at a sports bar, like, you know, a Buffalo Wild Wings or something like that, where you've got the group of fans for one team over here and the one team over there. And then when the Parkey made the field goal right after the timeout had been called the first time around, and everyone kind of cheered, but I was pointing like, nope, they called timeout. You know, Doug Peterson's not dumb. He called timeout there. And then the second time around, to see a ball. I mean, I've seen games end on some crazy stuff. You know, I've seen balls hit uprights. I've seen balls hit crossbars. But to see a ball hit the upright, then hit the crossbar, then bounce straight up where you're not sure if it's going to land on one side of the upright or the other, that is literally the most random possible ending to a football game. And at that point, all 100 men on both sides of that field, all the coaching staffs, everybody, all the blood, sweat, and tears, the whole season, going back to training camp, all the media articles written, all the practices, all the games, all the money spent, all of it literally hanging up in the air with a leather football just spinning end over end. And is it going to land on one side of this metal bar or the other? That's as random and as crushing and as dramatic as it gets. Now, this is what I love about the playoffs in any sport, but especially the NFL playoffs. I mean, you've got teams, like I said, like we do too with the Bucks all year. They've got blogs, they've got websites, they've got reporters. They cover the draft, they cover free agency, they cover training camp all through the summer, preseason, then 16 games, all those practices, all those tweets, all those updates, and then you get to the playoffs. And then you've got 3 hours to go. And in 3 hours, the entire narrative, the entire anticipation, the entire level of it, everything that all the fans, all the players, and everybody has put into that team in 3 hours will be nothing but an absolute memory for one of those teams. The finality of it and how sudden it is after all the work that goes into this for everybody, you know, all 32 teams, I think that's the best part of the playoffs. I mean, think about the teams playing this weekend, especially the ones that haven't played yet, the ones that are hosting in the divisional round. You've got the Chiefs hosting the Colts. I'll just use that one as an example. Think about this whole season with the Chiefs and everything that's happened and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and all the narratives and, you know, all the anticipation. What can these guys do? Who knows? The sky is the limit. What if they go out and lose to the Colts? Then in 3 hours, all of that will just be completely erased and no one will remember anything about it all except for that game. You know, I do a show on lightningpowerplay.com about the Lightning, and they're really hot right now. Obviously, they're doing some things that are on record-setting pace, not just franchise record-setting pace, but league record-setting pace. It's amazing what they're doing. And I keep reminding everybody, and again, not trying to poo-poo anything, but I keep saying over and over on the show, this is fun and everything, but you won't remember any of this in 5 years, let alone 10 years. You probably won't even remember any of this in 2 years. Think back to when the Lightning won the Stanley Cup in 2004 or when the Bucks won the Super Bowl in 2002. Football's a little different because there's only 16 games and the playoffs don't make up a disproportionate amount of the season. So football, I do have a lot of memories from that whole season. But hockey, I mean, I'm a huge Lightning fan. I went to like 25 games in person in the regular season, not just the playoffs, but the regular season, the year they won the Stanley Cup. And you know how much I remember about that season, not counting the playoffs? Almost literally nothing. Like, I literally remember maybe, like, if you reminded me of a couple things that happened that season, I might say, oh, yeah, but the playoffs, okay? I remember every single one of those playoff games the Lightning played, every single one of those series, and not just Game 7 to win the Cup or even Game 7 against Philly in the East Finals. I remember all the playoffs. The playoffs are what you're going to remember, you know? So the way I say it with the Lightning, the same thing going on with, I mean, it, to a lesser extent with football. I remember the 2002 Bucks, but what about the 2001 Bucks or the 1999 Bucks and things like that? I remember Bert Emanuel. I remember Ricky Prohl over Brian Kelly. 2001, 2000, I remember the crushing losses in Philadelphia, thinking we'd never get over the hump. That's what you remember. You know, you might remember a few things about the regular season here or there, but a season is defined by whether or not you make the playoffs, and if you do make the playoffs, then what you do in the playoffs. So the entire whole thing, same thing with the Rams. Oh, man, the Rams, Sean McVay, Jared Goff, the transformation, unbelievable what these guys have done. They lose this game to Dallas on Saturday night, which I don't think they will, but if they did, all that would be erased in 3 hours. It wouldn't mean crap, nobody would care, and everyone would forget about it. And a year from now, 5 years from now, even more so. Oh, 12-4 division champs, first round bye, whatever. The finality of it, it really is dramatic. And I mean, I always say this. People talk about reality television. There is no better reality television than sports. We don't need any other reality television besides sports. Watching that ball bounce off the upright, then bounce off the crossbar, then hit the ground. Watching Cody Parkey after that. Watching the sunken look that the Bears coach, Matt Nagy. These things define careers. Hey, my playoff record's either going to be 0-1 or 1-0. And they're always going to talk about your playoff record, you know? Watching all those things get decided in real time like that, I mean, for my money, I don't know what better form of entertainment there is. It's why we love sports. And even though our team is not a part of it, again, I always look forward to these weekends the most, the divisional round and the wild card round. Then when you get four full games both weekends, and I love the Saturday-Sunday schedule. I love the Saturday night primetime games. My weekend's planned. And people say, oh, well, we need a better name for the divisional round. People say that, you know, wild card weekend, you know, championship weekend for the conference championships. I've heard people say that. I've never had a problem. I guess because it's the way it's always been since I was a kid. I just think of it as the divisional round. If there was a better name that didn't sound contrived, I guess I could go for it. But, I mean, what more do you need? You got these four teams that played their ass off all season to earn home field, earn first round byes. And let me tell you something. If you, again, going back to DVOA that we talked about earlier in the show, if you look at DVOA, the best teams aren't necessarily the four that are hosting. A couple of them are. If you go by DVOA, and they have both DVOA for the entire 16-game schedule for all these teams, and they have weighted DVOA, which puts more weight to the last X amount of games, like how a team's playing lately, because that matters too. Let's go through the DVOA matchups. Indianapolis at KC, that's a 6-seed versus a 1-seed. But it's not actually that much of a mismatch if you look at it in terms of DVOA. Indianapolis had the 8th best DVOA this year. That is better than several of the teams who won divisions. And if you go by weighted DVA, where they don't look back as far as that 1-5 start, they're 4th. KC is 1 in both overall and weighted DVOA. They're the big dog, unquestioned. Dallas, everybody's all Dallas, you know. Cowboys were 21st in DVOA this year. And even if you weight it toward later performance in the season, it was 19th. I think they're a ticking time bomb. I've not thought they were that good from the get-go, and I still don't think they're that good now. I love the Rams on Saturday night to thump Dallas. That line is -7, and I would lay it if it was me. I'm just that, you know, gambling advice is not something you want to take from me, but for whatever it's worth, there it is. You got the Chargers and the Patriots. Yeah, the Patriots are hosting. They won their division. The Chargers didn't. But the Chargers are the team. And the Chargers are getting 4 points, and some of that obviously is just Foxborough. Chargers third overall in DVOA for the whole season and third in weighted DVOA. The Patriots were seventh overall and eighth in weighted DVOA. And you've got a chance to get points. And I know it's a 1 o'clock kickoff for a West Coast team. I know weather could be a factor in New England. Those are things you have to take into account. But it's hard for me. I feel like Phillip Rivers did not come this far just to lose now. I feel like this ends with some sort of a showdown between the Chargers and the Chiefs. And if you ask me, I've told you this before, I think the seeding should be done simply by record. I think the Chargers should have been the 2 seed. I have no problem with automatic playoff berths for division winners, but they should not be automatic top 4 seeds in home games. But either way, I love the Chargers getting 4 against New England. I've been saying all this year, it just feels different this year with the Patriots. It's a testament to how good the Patriots are, though, that for it feeling different, quote-unquote, they still had a first-round bye. I mean, it's unbelievable how they are just a machine. And earlier in the season, now the guy will remain nameless, but I know a very smart person, and he kind of lectured me a little bit, because earlier in the season we were talking about the Patriots, and it was after that just horrific game against the Lions where they looked terrible. And they've had, over the years, that's happened a bunch. They've been 2-3, 1-2 out of the gate. They had a 35-7 loss to the Chiefs a few years ago, I think it was, before they went to the Super Bowl. And they've done that before, and every single year they end up coming back. They're 12-4, maybe 11-5, something like that, and they've got a first-round bye, like, without fail. So after that Lions game earlier this year, we were talking, and this friend of mine's a New York guy. He's a good guy. And I was like, yeah, the Patriots, you know, it just feels different this year, man. I know they've done this before. I know they've been 2-3 before. I know that they've started slow, and they always seem to get where they need to be by the time December comes around, but it just feels different. He says, no. He said, Bobby, it's not different. He says, the Patriots do this every year. They will be fine for 2 reasons, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And he said, that's why they're the Patriots, and that's why you're the Bucs, and that's why they'll be in a first-round bye, and that's why you're going to miss the playoffs. And this is when the Bucs were like 2-0 or 2-1, whatever it was. And I got pissed off at him. I was like, you know, your dickhead attitude like that. He was absolutely right. Like, that's why they're who they are, and at least to this point, that's why teams like the Bucs have been who they are. And it came out in the wash again. He was 1,000% right. I have to give him credit. So, with all that said, I know they're here. I know they got here. But it still feels different. And I like the Chargers getting 4 in New England in Foxborough on Sunday. Then the 4:40 game is the Eagles at the Saints. The 8 makes me hesitate. That's a lot. But I like the Saints. And I don't think the Saints will have any trouble. And one of the rules of gambling, I think Bill Simmons once said, like, don't take a big underdog in the playoffs just because you like the spread. Don't take a big underdog in the playoffs unless you think they can actually win the game. I don't think the Eagles are going to win the game, so I would probably lay the 8 points with the Saints. So those are my thoughts on Wild Card Weekend. We will be back next week. I want to thank the Joes for allowing me to post a show on this website and to get in front of all of you. It's an honor and a pleasure, especially in a week like this where so much has gone on. Email me with your thoughts. I love hearing from you. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is my email address. On Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. I'm excited. All I'm saying is look at it from all angles and understand that no matter what your opinion is of the hire, and most of it is, it's pretty much universally good, all that will be great up until toe meets leather in September, and then, and only then, will we have any actual real live results, and those will be what makes you happy or unhappy. Remember that. I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank Bill Curry Ford, our sponsor. Again, remember the Classic Car Show coming up in February at Bill Curry Ford, the Ford Classic Car Show on February the 22nd at the site of Bill Curry Ford itself, about a mile north, mile and a half north maybe, of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. It's there on the right if you're heading north, on the left if you're heading south. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of old classic Fords, things like that, Mustangs and everything. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'll keep reminding you guys of that as it comes up. And until then, enjoy divisional playoff weekend, I should say, not wild card weekend. Be safe, have fun, look for a reason to get together with friends and watch the games if you want to. And no matter what else, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.